34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
The Department of Justice's order on Friday to release former President Donald Trump's tax returns appears to be purely political, Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican of Iowa, said. In 2019, the department said the returns did not have to be given to Representative Richard Neal, Democrat of Massachusetts, chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, because Neal was disingenuous about the true purpose of seeking the returns. Following the most widespread protests since Fidel Castro's 1959 revolution, Cubans are now bracing themselves for a new aftershock, mass trials of those who dared to take to the streets calling for change.
Many of the relatives of the people who were arrested would not talk to us on camera. They were too afraid. But some did tell us that their loved ones had done nothing other than peacefully demonstrate or simply record and upload videos of the historic protests as they took place.
CNN international correspondent Patrick Oppmann. This is USA Radio News.
Lights out, everybody.
Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet.
Pleasant dreams.
The greatest radio shows of all time, USA Classic Radio Theater. On these radio stations or on demand by searching USA Classic Radio Theater. USA Classic Radio Theater.
Team USA gathers medals. Caleb Dressel sets records on the final day of Olympic swimming. More from Dan Naraki.
The United States continued to collect medals on the final day of the Olympic swim meet. Caleb Dressel earned his fourth gold medal of the games when he won the 50-meter freestyle, setting a new Olympic record in the process. Bobby Fink surged on the final lap of the 1,500-meter freestyle to grab another gold, the first for the U.S. in that event since 1984. The women's 4x100-meter medley relay captured a silver medal, just 0.13 tenths of a second behind Australia, who also set an Olympic record with their win. And the men's 4x100 medley relay set a new world record on their way to another gold. Caleb Dressel swam the butterfly leg of that event, claiming his fifth gold medal of the games and becoming just the fifth swimmer to win five golds at a single Olympics, joining Michael Phelps, Mark Spitz, Matt Biondi, and East Germany's Kristen Otto. From the USA Radio News Ohio Bureau, I'm Dan Naraki.
A surging number of immigrant families crossing the border in recent weeks has led to overcrowding in Border Patrol stations, and many of those families will now be transferred to Immigration and Customs Enforcement custody, according to two senior Department of Homeland Security officials. From there, the families will either be released with ankle monitors and a court date to make their case for asylum or put on a flight to be quickly deported, the officials said. As of Saturday, Border Patrol processing facilities were holding migrants 585% above capacity. For USA Radio News, I'm Brad Bernard.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-807-1981. 800-807-1981. That's 800-807-1981.
Get ready to grip it and rip it.
All right, let's move on. We got golfers waiting.
Dedicated to bringing better golf to America, this is Tee to Green, the golf show.
That's right. Golf is the language we speak every Sunday here on Tee to Green, the golf show. Hello and welcome to another edition of the big show. Jay Ritchie, Jerry Evans in master control, Scott Cuddy. Thanks for being the most important part of what we do every week when we get together and talk golf. We got another big show for you today. It's a little different. We have two doctors on the show today. No, we're not going to talk about healthcare or COVID. They are other types of doctors. Mike Richardson, PhD from the Horticultural Department at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. He will be on to talk to us about the science of putting greens, what are the ideal conditions, and how greenskeepers measure whether greens are too soft or too firm, too wet or too dry. And he's also going to talk about the evolution of all the tools that they use to determine those type of things to get ideal putting conditions on the greens that you and I play. Later in the hour, Dr. Joe Tramontana will be here to ask, what percentage of your time is spent on the mental part of your golf game? We spend lots of time and lots of money on lessons, new clubs, etc., etc., but lots of us ignore the mental side. Dr. Joe is a clinical psychologist who specializes in hypnosis. He's written several books about it, and his newest book, aimed at golfers, is called Golf Peak Performance Through Self-Hypnosis Training to help you improve focus and concentration when playing golf. That's today at Tee to Green.
Sunday morning, the sun is coming up. I'm on the tee at 7. I'm here to try my luck. They say this game's a tough one, but I'll give it my best shot. Though the bunkers look like beaches and the greens like parking lots. Oh, Lord, what am I gonna do? Help me keep my head down. Save me from those double bogey blues.
It's America's longest running network radio golf show, Tee to Green. Our website, teetogreenradio.com. Check it out. Like us on Facebook. Jay Ritchie, Jerry Evans, teeing it up and talking golf with Mike Richardson next, right here on Tee to Green.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-399-3691. 800-399-3691. That's 800-399-3691.
Angie's List is now Angie. Summer is the perfect time to book your next home project. From lawn care to a new patio, Angie makes it simple to connect with pros who can get the job done right. See reviews, upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Plus, when you book and pay through Angie, we'll cover your project up to the full purchase price, plus limited damage protection with our happiness guarantee. Check out Angie.com, and for more on the happiness guarantee, go to Angie.com/happiness-guarantee.htm.
Time for your small business report presented by Dell Small Business. You can increase the return on investment of your marketing assets by repurposing them. Transform each one into at least two or three different assets to save time and effort that you can devote to other things. A blog post can become several social media messages and vice versa. A brochure can turn into a blog post and an infographic. Be sure to look for multiple ways you can use each asset and reach customers in different ways. And that's your Dell Small Business Report.
Enjoy a powerful business upgrade with Dell Technologies Black Friday and July event. Get amazing savings with up to 50% off high-performance computers and tech built for business, and be able to take your office with you with Windows 10 Pro. Plus, get great offers on Dell servers, monitors, docks, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL, and speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today.
It's time for some straight talk. You've got real work to do, but everyone's sucking up the free Wi-Fi faster than a Mocha Choco double frap on ice. So be your own hotspot. Now with Straight Talk Wireless, get 10 gigs of hotspot data with the Ultimate Unlimited plan. Just $55 a month on America's largest and most dependable networks. You don't have to find a hotspot. You are the hotspot. Straight Talk Wireless.
No contract, no compromise.
Compatible device required. See straighttalk.com.
Your top source for golf news and entertainment on the radio, online, and on your smartphone. It's Tee to Green. It's the Golf Show. Back with another edition. Jay Ritchie alongside Jerry Evans. Scott Cuddy's in Master Control. And Roscoe, the rock star dog, is here chewing on his bone again.
He's such an obedient dog.
How you doing, Jerry?
I'm doing real well, and I want to just send out a shout-out to everybody who has ever born or lived in Colorado. Today is Colorado Day. Happy birthday. It is 145 years old today. August 1st, 1873 is when Colorado became a state. And I don't know when your other states, like Tennessee, they're the volunteer state. Of course, Missouri is the show-me state. Here in Colorado, we are the centennial state because we were established in 1876.
Yeah, 100 years after our country was established. So that makes sense. But yeah, happy Colorado Day to all the Coloradans. Of course, we originate from Colorado Springs, Colorado, and we go everywhere with Tee to Green each every Sunday talking about the game of golf. On the show today, later in the hour, we're going to try to hook up with Dr. Joe Tramontana. He's a clinical psychologist specializing in hypnosis. You've tried a lot of different things to improve your game and your focus and concentration on the golf course. Maybe hypnosis is one thing you haven't tried that could help.
I wonder if he could help me to keep my left foot planted and not rotate it around when I hit off the tee shot.
I'll bet he could.
I hope so, because I need some help with that sometimes.
His new book is called Golf Peak Performance Through Self-Hypnosis Training. We'll be chatting with him. We've got another doctor on the line standing by ready to go right now from the University of Arkansas Horticultural Department, Mike Richardson, Ph.D., to talk about the science of putting greens. I think a lot of people take greens for granted and don't appreciate all the work and science that goes into creating ideal putting conditions.
Yeah, it's something that I'm sure a lot of people are unaware of, exactly all the technology, all the work that and the preparation that goes into making the greens what they are, whether whether they're something that you can utilize when you get on there, or if it's something that sometimes you look at some of the greens that maybe you play and they're going, wow, these things really need a lot of work.
Well, I think if you're putting good and the putts are dropping, what a great green.
What a great green.
If you're not making anything, boy, these are crappy greens.
So. Yeah, really.
Let's get Mike on and talk about that. Mike Richardson from the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing fine. Thanks for having me on.
Is that pretty much what you found through the years too? If people are making putts, they think the greens are great. If they're not, they think they're pretty bad.
Well, of course, that's always been the common thread. Is that if the ball's rolling in, the putts are perfect, or the greens are perfect, and if they're not, there's got to be the greens. Can't be my putting stroke.
So, how did you get into this facet of what you do there at the horticulture department at the University of Arkansas? And where did your focus on greens, putting greens, come from? Are you a golfer?
I am a golfer. My background really, I didn't set out to do what I'm doing these days. But I grew up around agriculture, so growing things, whether it was crops or gardens and things like that, and then eventually got a degree in agriculture in college, and then got involved with a research station down in Louisiana where I grew up, and started doing research on plants and got interested in that, and so eventually went on and got some more degrees, including my PhD, and now for the last 25 plus years I've been studying turf grass systems of all kinds, but we focus a lot of our efforts on golf and putting greens, because that's where most of the newest advanced technology actually starts, is on the golf course.
What would you say is the best turf to use on the greens?
Well, it all depends on where you're located. I mean, we have probably half a dozen max grasses that we use on putting greens around the world. If you're in cooler climates, you're going to be looking at probably creeping bentgrass as being the first grass of choice, followed by annual bluegrass or poa annua. now even some of the fine fescues, and you'll see a lot of those over in the British Isles on some of the really old courses there. And then as you move farther south and get into warmer climates, then we're looking mainly at Bermuda grass, and then seashore paspalum and zoysy grass are two what I would consider to be more niche grasses that are used in certain types of environments. All of them can produce a really good surface, but some have more issues than others.
Has putting green science evolved a lot? I'm thinking probably 50, 75 years ago, the course superintendent or the greenskeepers walked out, eyeballed the greens, maybe rolled a couple of balls on it and said, yeah, we need more water, we need less water. Has it really changed from that to where we are now?
There's no question. I mean, it's the technology that's been developed over the last 70 to 80 years, from everything from how the greens are built, the materials we use to build the greens and how they drain, the grasses, the plant breeders have done a fabulous job of improving all the grasses that I just mentioned to make them more suitable for a putting green surface. So having the right grass in place is always important. And then even just the equipment that we have available to us to manage greens, the mowers, the top dressers, chemical inputs that are out there. So there's technology in every aspect of greens management now. And that's why, superintendents now are mostly going to be, college degree trained, maybe even multiple degrees, to have the know-how and understanding to be able to utilize all that technology.
Science of Putting Greens, University of Arkansas Horticultural Department. Mike Richardson, Ph.D., is with us. We're going to break this down, I guess, into two categories, Mike. Too soft, too firm, and then too wet, too dry. Let's talk about too soft and too firm and the tools used to determine whether a green is too firm or too soft.
Well, it's kind of like the putting stroke. The golfers will probably tell you if the greens are too firm or too soft, depending on how their balls are bouncing around on it. But again, this is an area where technology has really improved over the last decade or so. About 20 years ago, maybe it's even been closer to 30 now, researchers started working with a technology that came out of the construction industry called a Clegg hammer. And basically this thing is a device that was used to determine is a roadbed hard enough to build a road on it, or is the foundation of a building hard enough to build a building on it. And so we started utilizing that technology to also measure the varying degrees of firmness or hardness of a turf surface, and that's been used quite a bit by researchers since that time. And then about probably close to 20 years ago now, the USGA, their green section research team and their technology product development team came up with a similar device to measure firmness of greens specifically. And they started using this device especially for major championship setup. They would go in prior to the tournament and start making measurements on all the greens to see what the firmness levels were, and then they would make adjustments to the cultural practices or the mowing heights or whatever they wanted to, the amount of water, to try to make the greens softer or firmer. And the problem with both of those technologies, they're very expensive, thousands of dollars, and so not everyone could have access to that type of technology. But about maybe 6 or 7 years ago, the USGA teamed up with a company called Spectrum Technologies and developed a device called the TrueFirm, which it's a similar concept, but it measures the firmness a little bit differently. And the TrueFirm is more at a price point of less than $1,000. That now individual golf courses and superintendents can get their hands on a device like that to go out and measure the firmness of their greens.
So how does the device work? Because I understand looking at the pictures. Oh, I hear the music coming up.
Yeah, we'll describe this when you're
Yeah, back. We're going to keep Mike on for the next segment, and we'll have him describe just how that device works that measures the firmness or the softness of a putting green and then we'll get into how they determine whether greens are too wet or too dry as well. We're talking to Mike Richardson from the University of Arkansas Horticultural Department, all the science and the work that goes into creating ideal putting conditions for you and I when we hit the golf course.
We're going to be right back.
We'll be right back with more Tee to Green right after this.
Attention timeshare owners. This is an urgent consumer alert from the Timeshare Exit Hotline, a national company specializing in helping consumers legally get out of their expensive timeshare contracts. We're offering you a way to legally get rid of your timeshare. So if you're fed up with the maintenance fees that keep on coming and want to learn if you can terminate your timeshare legally and permanently, call today. Even if you've tried before and were unsuccessful in getting rid of your timeshare, call today and see if we can help. We offer a complete 100% unconditional client satisfaction guarantee. Make this completely free call and learn how we can help you legally put an end to your timeshare nightmare once and for all. You have nothing to lose, so call right now to qualify and receive a free consultation. 800-880-7167. 800-880-7167. That's 800-880-7167. Paid for by Airtime Media.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-338-6906. 800-338-6906. That's 800-338-6906. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation.
800-693-8290. 800-693-8290. 800-693-8290. That's 800-693-8290.
Destination listening for dedicated golfers. And once again, you found it right here on Tee to Green, the golf show with Jerry Evans. I'm Jay Ritchie. We're talking to Dr. Mike Richardson, the University of Arkansas in the Horticultural Department, about the science of putting greens and all the work and the science that goes into creating ideal putting conditions for you and I. And we were talking, Mike, before we went to the break about these devices that are used to measure whether a green is too soft and too firm. One of them was called a Clegg. And I was just wondering if you could describe a little bit how they work so that our listeners can kind of get the picture in their mind.
Okay, sure. Well, they have a very simple, similar approach to measuring the firmness, but they use two different technologies to actually measure it. So both of these devices has what's commonly called a missile inside of a tube that's raised to a specific height above the green. So the device is set on the surface of the green. You raise this missile to a certain height and you drop it. The Clegg, which is the more expensive device, has an electronic, what's called a decelerometer, at the end of the missile. And so basically what it does is it gets an electronic pulse to measure, in simple terms, how fast the missile stops. So if it's a very, very hard surface, it stops very quickly, and you get a higher pulse for that type of measurement. The other device, the TrueFirm, actually has a depression sensor on it that when the missile is dropped, it basically makes an indention into the surface like a ball mark. And so that device just actually measures how deep the missile penetrated into the surface of the green, or you know, made an impression or a dimple in the surface of the green. And so in that case, a smaller number would be a more firm surface. So again, the idea is very similar between the two. They take a slightly different measurement when they're actually measuring the firmness.
Does it actually leave kind of a mark when you put this into practice?
It can. Yes, it sure can. So if you've got relatively soft greens, it's going to leave what would be, you know, similar to a lofted golf shot ball mark. So that would have to be repaired if you're out taking, you know, a lot of measurements on a green. But typically if someone is using a device like this, they would go out in the morning as the greens were being prepared for play. And so, you know, any measurements they took, they would, you know, immediately probably repair those areas.
That's the phrase, ouch, that's going to leave a mark. Okay, so how about, so we got too soft or too firm. How about too wet or too dry? And how is that measured? What kind of different tools are used to measure the moisture content on a green?
Well, this is something that's really become quite popular and quite common in the golf course management industry over the last decade. And it's because, the cost of the devices that you can use to measure the water content or the moisture content in the soil became more reasonable. They became more available to the golf course superintendent. And the name of the technology is a big word. It's called time domain reflectometry, which is the scientific term for it. But it's really just a meter that allows you to stick a probe in the green, and then it gives you a relatively accurate estimate of the volumetric water content or the water content of the green. And so once superintendents become familiar with their particular grasses and the soil that they're growing the green in, they can start looking at target numbers that allow them to know whether the green needs to be irrigated or maybe needs to have a little hand watering done on it. Or maybe it's getting too wet and is going to be too soft. And moisture is certainly one of the more important facets of surface firmness. And so as you hear people talk about on the weekend golf telecast, that the greens are drying out, firming up, and again, that's one of the key things that you would do to try to adjust the firmness of a green is to adjust the moisture. And so, again, these are tools that I would say thousands of golf courses around the world probably have these tools, and they're using them on a regular basis to, again, manage irrigation as well as adjust for firmness levels on the greens.
So these were introduced a short time ago. How have they evolved over the last decade or so?
Well, you know, the technology hasn't changed a lot. I would say the biggest change to the technology that has come is that companies have designed instruments that are either more durable or they have more, they can measure more things. Some of the tools now can measure soil temperature, how much salt is in the soil, and the water content. All of these things can be measured simultaneously. They also have been adapted to have GPS sensors on them so that you can then produce like spatial maps of the green to see where there maybe are wet spots or dry spots on the green, and then again use that information to go out and make adjustments to the moisture levels of the green. So again, there's a number of different players in that market now, and of course they're all trying to add bells and whistles to make the tool more useful to the golf course superintendent.
Mike Richardson with us from the University of Arkansas Horticultural Department. So, Mike, we've talked about too soft and too firm and too wet and too dry. And, of course, they're intertwined because you can control the firmness or the softness by how much moisture you put on the grain. So I guess the key or the trick for superintendents and greenskeepers is to find the correct balance between the firmness and the moisture. How do they do that?
Well, it's complicated. I wish it was as easy as just, okay, here's a number on a device and that's what we're trying to target. But the thing that I think everybody has to remember is that, you know, the skill of the golfer or your golfing membership or your normal players is going to affect how firm or how soft you might want to have the greens, the size of the greens, the undulations of the greens, how heavily protected they are by water or bunkers. Again, all these things. If you think there's one size that fits all, you know, you just don't really understand how the game of golf works. And so you have to always keep in mind that ultimately you're trying to produce a surface that's ideal for the golfers that are there to play on a daily basis or for a championship event, and then adjust those values to accommodate those players.
Plus, you know, you've got a minimum of 9 or 18 greens on any given course, and probably a green in one part of the course might be completely different than a green on the other side of the course. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, even the types of greens, I mean, if you're talking about a long par four where people are hitting, you know, 3 and 4 irons or something like that into it, you know, having the green really, really firm there is going to be make it much more difficult. Whereas if you have a shorter par three, then having the green be firmer is certainly going to be still, you know, a good surface for the golfers to play into. So, yeah, you have to look at all those factors. And again, the size of the green, if you have really large greens and having them a little firmer, if the ball bounces around more, that's not going to be as penal if you're playing on very small greens where, you know, really firm surfaces are going to suddenly make it difficult for most of the day-to-day golfers like myself.
When you're talking about the greens and everything like that, you mentioned earlier that thousands of courses are utilizing this technology and the tools for this. What about the ones that haven't been using it? Do you educate them, like, online, or do you have in-person seminars?
Well, we do a little bit of everything. I think you guys probably picked up on an article we published in Golf Course Management Magazine that we've been publishing for the last few years called What the Tech, and that column is basically designed to talk about technology and how to best use it. My colleague and I, Doug Karcher and myself, have been teaching a course at the Golf Industry Show for the last 15 years called Gadgets and Gizmos, where we discuss the pros and cons of this technology and how to best use it. And then we have taught versions of that seminar at smaller meetings, conferences around the world. It's always been a popular topic for the last decade that people want to know more about some of the tools that are out there that they might be able to use to better manage their course.
Sounds complicated, but for the most part, Mike, are golf courses getting it right?
Well, it's a learning curve for everyone when they start trying to apply new technology, and there's some golf course superintendents out there that, you know, are you know, world leaders in how to utilize technology to its fullest. Some guys, you know, trust their instincts more than they maybe trust an electronic tool. They like to go out there and still, you know, put their hands into the soil and feel it and smell it and do those kinds of things. And I really think you need a little bit of both. I mean, there still has to be some instinct and understanding of what it takes to grow things. But a lot of these tools can really improve your ability to dial in your management programs. And I think that's where it's been most effectively used.
One place they're getting it right, at the University of Arkansas. You got a course there called the Blessings, which hosted the NCAA Men's and Women's National Championships last year. So, like I said, you guys are definitely getting it right there in Fayetteville. Mike, this has been interesting, informative, and a lot of fun to talk about something that I think gets taken for granted in golf, and that is greens and the science behind what makes them ideal for putting. Mike Richardson, thanks for joining us today here on Tee to Green.
Hey, thank you guys for having me. Have a great day, okay?
From the University of Arkansas.